enak.
You're talking about row.
Rows 145 and 146 in the spreadsheet.
Versus 100,000.
So for PRA premiums, you're budgeting 3,800 versus 6,600 forecast the year before. For outside premiums, you're budgeting 100,000 versus 138 the year before. And this is in the context of increasing overall listener support by 170,000. So pledges are going to go up, premium spending is going to go down. It sounds great, but it doesn't sound prudent.
I have in my actuals, my premium expense is $110,000. I have in my actual, my PRA premium was $12,210.
And what period are your actuals for?
From October 2014 to...
I'm sorry, really, I can hear everybody else, but I can't hear Bertolt at all.
Okay, I'm taking it off speakerphone. From October 2014 to September 2015, email. I will send you that report. Brian, right? Brian at...
lsb.brian@gmail.com.
LSB that Brian.
So the figures from actuals through August that the national office has is $118,000 on outside vendors. This is different from the forecast in your budget. And $5,400 from PRA. And that's 11 out of 12 months.
Yeah. Well, lsb.brian at what?
gmail.com.
Okay. These are my actuals. Profit and loss this past year. Just sent it to you.
I don't want to look at a different set of actuals from what's living in the Great Plains accounting software. Like just two set of books things. What you're budgeting has got to be based on the actuals that are like going into our audit and stuff.
Okay, so you want the one from Great Plains? Okay, that'll be fine. As opposed to the real actual.
Well, I don't know what you mean by
all the real actuals. All due respect, is exactly the expenses booked properly by four interns I've had for the past summer. Which makes it more accurate than what is in the Great Train system. We've had that conversation for a long time, and we never reconciled it. And I don't want to bring it up again, but I'm just saying, I just want to bring it up.
Right. So if incorrect numbers...
We don't have access to Great Plains in New York, so...
Yeah, if you think inaccurate numbers are going into Great Plains, then you need to talk to the people who are recording those numbers. But I don't think we can base decisions here on a separate set of books that you're keeping locally.
Okay.
So I had some other questions. I think you responded to questions about the $170,000 increase in listener support. There's a separate $35,000 increase in web income. What's that?
In web. of income. So what I did is I think I reduced the listener support, and I allocated to web income what it is that we do with on the website. Outside of fundraising time, we calculate what it is that comes into the website, and then we put it under web income. And we're going back again to the same thing. I don't know if that's reflected properly in the Great Plains system.
Non-operating grants, you show going from $0 to $30,000. What's that?
Non-operating grant.
This is row 23.
Yes. In 2014-15, we had a $10,000 bequest on October 21st, 2014. Right? Then we had a $9,104.91 money coming in December 2014. That was the estate of someone. Then we had $15,000 from the Park Foundation and $10,000 from the My Family Foundation on December 2014. As far as these were grants. We had another $10,000 grant in April 28th from the Northern Trust Charitable Giving Program. So if you add all of these things together, it will show you that we had $42,000 last year of foundation grant and $19,000 of bequest.
What line are those getting booked on?
They were supposed to be booked on 6,800 foundation grant.
So bequests should go on the major donor line, not on the non-operating grants line. Non-operating grants would be for restricted revenues.
Okay, so I will reclass the bequest on the major donor. 6762. Okay.
And
okay, hold on, let me write that down.
We're about 2 minutes from the time certain for the PRA also.
Thank you. The grants income line that Efren's actuals show through August only shows $11,000.
Okay. So this is the bottom line. I'm going to have to figure out how to sit down with the national office and have them upgrade Great Plains because, you know, they're booking it from the bank statements and then different things. And, you know, they're going to have to make those adjustments.
I guess here's the bigger question, kind of the bigger picture question, and this is above and beyond what particular line a given set of income lands on, is that this budget assumes that the total revenues in 2016 are going to be almost $370,000 higher than the projection for 2015 in the budget, the projection of the budget. And with that assumption that revenues are going to go up by almost $370,000, it's still showing a $200,000 deficit. I mean, that means that even if you get the best case scenario and the status quo continues with your transmitter payments through the year, WBAI is not going to be able to keep up with its expenses as they come current. If its fundraising stays at current levels. And as Bill pointed out, and I think it's a very, very fair concern, the trend is not that fundraising stays at current levels. The trend has been down, and it's been steeply down in New York. So my kind of global concern about the budget is you have a budget that doesn't balance, and you're telling us you don't know how to balance it, and it's unbalanced even with extremely optimistic assumptions about revenues. And maybe that forecast column is off. You know, there's 3 months that are basically just penciled in there, and now we have actuals. You know, maybe you can get a better comparison for us, but I find it very...
And Bill?
Very troubling. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I just follow up with that. I was about to say the same thing. If we were discussing, and we didn't finish discussing a motion that would apply to KPFT, and if the same thing was applied to WBAI, which was essentially to use the previous year's actuals, then you'd end up having to cut about $600,000 from your expenses next year, which I know would be very difficult. So, but... I worry about that. Plus, I know you have debt for the Empire State Building, the tower lease, and I'm still not sure what the plan is for, or if you've budgeted for premiums, for past due premiums from prior fund drives. So then you need to work that in there, too, if it's not already.
Okay. It sounds like you have a lot of work, Bertolt, just nailing your numbers down. Can we get an updated budget from you a week from now?
2 weeks from now.
Okay. 2 weeks from today?
Yeah.
Wait a second. What's the next meeting, Paul?
Oh, hold on. The telephone will stretch. The next meeting, I believe, is the next meeting is the 27th, and if you want the one after that, let me see this here, and then come up. Okay, PFTX is not moving fast. Don't know why. All right, we have a meeting on the 27th of October, and the meeting after that is on the 10th of November.
Okay, is there anything on the KPFTX calendar 2 weeks from tomorrow?
2 weeks from tomorrow, yes. That's November 3rd, and that's governance.
It's Election Day. It's National Election Day, too.
Social Election Day.
Do any of you have municipal or state elections that day?
Yeah, we do in Houston.
Okay. Does anyone have an objection to meeting in the evening that day?
I
can't do it.
What's that? Serene?
Serene governance.
All right, what about 2 weeks from today? Paul?
2 weeks from today is Monday the 2nd. That's the Personnel Committee, which meets open and executive session both. So.
Well, that creates a conflict for Lydia at a minimum. I don't know who else is on that committee.
No, not for Lydia, because Lydia is planning to resign from the committee.
Oh, does it create a conflict for anybody?
Yes, Serena and Adriana.
Okay. All right, well, I don't know what to say, Bertolt. You're 2 weeks into the fiscal year with a budget that still needs a lot of work. Don't start spending money on anything that you're not already spending it on. And get us a revised budget as soon as you can.
There's no money to spend. Basically paying bills.
Yeah. All right, we've probably kept Brian DeShazer waiting for long enough. Brian, are you on the line?
Hi, yeah. Yeah, Brian and Mariana Berkovich, the Archives Business Manager, we're both here.
Okay. Brian and Mariana, does one of you want to take us on a tour through the Pacifica Radio Archives budget?
Sure,
start
I will.
On questions?
We started our archives budget based on the actuals from this year, and we've actually presented a budget that is more conservative with a reduction in salaries from last year. We increased our listener support with a plan to do not just a two-day fund drive in November, but a 10-day campaign, only using 2 days of the archives day on the radio. But the campaign will last 10 days. We'll also be pushing for the day in April, which was part of last year's budget, which we didn't get at all the stations. So ultimately, we have a budget that's turned in for a total expenses of $493,000. Our income is looking at $488,000. We have about a $4,600 deficit, which can be either cut in expenses as we go through the year, or we could increase revenue to cover that $4,600 deficit. But there's a number of lines that we could cut it from, and a couple of lines that we hope will be increased in terms of alternative revenue streams. We have been doing really well this past year in building our licensing income, which is filtered into the sales. 2 years ago, it was $1,000. Last year, it was $3,000. This year, it was $6,000. And that's all due to the records being more available for people to find the materials to use in new productions, such as film documentaries, art performances, publications, academic books in high school. All of those are part of what we've done with licensing. The other big change is a difference in the big numbers is that this year we don't have the National Archives grant numbers in there. So in programming, last year we had an actual of $103,000 in expenses, and this year we only have $18,000 because the grant is over with. I think that's a good overview for the minute. I think we are putting in a conservative budget, maintaining the operations of the work to do the digitization of the collection that's deteriorating, and provide services to the stations, particularly with premium. I know you were talking about premiums earlier on, and we are able to say that we were our premiums raised over $400,000 for the network station, the five stations alone. Most of that is at KPFK. And in terms of premium, and I heard you, Brian, about the sometimes the archives premiums are saturated. I can even say I don't know how many times people can buy the Malcolm X CD year after year.
Or the Alan Watts.
Or the Alan Watts. I heard that pitch this season over at KPFA. But I do think that there's work to be done in terms of us gathering and collecting current material from the stations and manufacturing premiums to be developed and worked from the archives. So we're still sort of trying to get, you know, two best of programs from the stations to try to compile them in a year-end project. But that all sort of happens at the initial point of collecting and stations sending us stuff. But I think that there's definitely room for improvement on that fact, even with the understanding that you can only sell Alan Watts so many times to the same people. And I'll stop for now.
Okay, I'll take a stab for questions. Well, I'll go first then. Oh, go ahead, Arpal.
Okay, very fast. Yeah, on line 43, I'm looking for cash receipts and et cetera. And at the end of it, the bottom line total is an error. Now, does everybody else have that? Because
line
43 on the cash flow tab.
No, I'm in, in cash flow. I'm getting an error because, I don't know why. So, is there a number for that? Because the cash flow is not...
Yes, the number is 7,958 for
positive
the total column. Positive.
Positive, okay. Okay. And that's accounted for. The difference last year was 113 in the negative, it looks like. And I guess, is that the National Archive thing, expense, causing that?
I got confused. I was trying to find the cash flow forecast line 43 error, and I got lost in the question.
Oh.
I think the error is in Paul's software. He's saying there was a net cash outflow in your 2015 projection of $113,000. You were spending down a grant you received in 2014, correct?
Yes. Okay, I see it. $113,493. It's right here, Mariana.
Okay.
So our Paul, it's cash out, but you know, it's cash that was supposed to go out.
Right. That's the NHPRC grant.
Okay, and so the budget for FY16 calls for a deficit of $4,600.
Right.
You
can correct neither cutting some expenses or increasing some revenue where it's appropriate and realistic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Bill.
I've got Bill. Who else? Go ahead, Bill.
Well, it looks like I'm getting a bunch of errors in that on the cash flow tab, too. It looks like they originate from cell R13, which apparently has a bad reference. It's supposed to be donations less than $1,000 per year for November. So, anyway, it's just a bad form of a bad reference there, I guess. Or you're referencing perhaps a file, another file on your computer that we don't have. Sometimes that happens.
I think we're going to have to ask Efren on it with the formulas. It looks like it's an error in the formula or something. I think we have to check with Efren on these. See these, Mariana,
okay.
All these REFs?
Yeah, that's reference. There's something wrong in the formula.
Oh, yeah, so that's something wrong with the formula that we'll have to get Efren to correct.
Okay, so that's Brian.
Cell R13?
Yeah,
I think that's the cell where the data has to be corrected. I get an error there, too, but I'm looking at it in LibreOffice, and for some reason it's not cascading to all the other cells that depend on it.
Well, I'm looking at LibreOffice, and it is cascading to
really
a bunch of them. Like R22, I was just following backwards from some of the ones that Paul mentioned.
Huh.
It's probably easy to fix. I was going to ask Brian, though, the Shazer, what can stations do to help you, and what can you do to help them so that, you know, we get more, use more PRE premiums, you know, without having to rely on the same ones over and over again? Because I know you have a number of really good ones, and I think a lot of people don't know what all you already have available. Is there anything we can do or importantly to help use PRE premiums more, because they cost us less and they help you, I know.
Well, I think, you know, one thing you already did do successfully on the Pacifica National Board is that you passed a recent resolution that requires the stations to have total recorders so that we can actually record the current goings-on at all five stations 24/7 at a high bit rate, which, first of all, gives us the opportunity to go gather and collect so that we can thoughtfully and mindfully curate and package Pacifica's broadcasts contributions in a premium way. So that's the first thing that was already done. The next step is, I guess, just encouraging the programmers that you do know that you know well enough to encourage them to send us information about a good program that they did or a great interview, and just keep the lines of communications going, and so that even the programmers know that they're of great value to the institution and to the archives, and we want to be able to collect and preserve it and catalog it first and foremost, and then we would have the product to work from. So that's my note of encouragement.
Okay, thank you.
On that note, Brian, does anyone at KPFA send you masters of the fundraising events we do, the recordings of them?
No. In fact, I think we should probably have a nice little meeting about that to figure out how, not so much as a compromise, but find out how everybody can benefit and we can get that done. Because I know KPFA uses that and as their local premium, but a way to get it into the archives here for archiving and then distributed to the other stations is that next step. So anything you can do to help facilitate that conversation.
Yeah, I don't think it needs another meeting.
All right, well, I'll touch base with Laura and Quincy.
Do you want to just send a request? I mean, the stuff should get archived regardless, right? The folks in our subscriptions department don't want to ask you to burn copies of things that we already produce in-house because it just seems unwieldy, but that's for us. I'm sure they would have no problem with you making them available to the rest of the network, and if it helped them with fundraising and helped you with income on that line, so much the better.
Okay. All right, I will do that, and do you want to be copied on it officially or behind copy?
Sure, just copy me.
Okay, all right, will do.
Getting into the nitty-gritty of the numbers. So the 160,000 listener support number
right.
is up from an actual of just a little over half that. So this is based on 8 days of author fundraising plus an extra day in April?
Right. In fact, the 90,000 that we did actual was just the 2 days in November and a couple of events at WBAI and WPFW, which happened in September and both in September. But there was no promotions, and it didn't do very well. But we got at least through the month. So going from 90,000 to 160 is, again, expanding the holiday campaign from just a 2-day national broadcast to a 10-day campaign. We did just meet with NBC reporter Beverly White here in Los Angeles, who is pitching a story to the producers for a Black Friday story as the archives be in history for the holidays, alternative gift for Black Friday to get your shop to not go out and buy commercial products. So we're very excited that even NBC is willing to do a TV spot on it to expand that 10-day campaign. So I'm looking forward to increasing our 90,000 at least to 120 in that November campaign, and that way April be left to negotiate with the stations on how we can make up that difference, but I feel pretty confident about it.
Okay, so help me break this down. My understanding is the fall drive was on all 5 stations for both days, right?
Right, except last year we did not get to WBAI or WPFW completely because of technical problems. In fact, I don't think we got more than 10 donations from New York at all last year in the 2 days. I mean, finding out from them, they were taking the stream from the internet, and the refresher on the laptop didn't go in, and it went into a loop. So we got calls from listeners who said that they heard the archives day in a 10-minute loop, and then evidently the board engineer just dumped out of it and went to a different broadcast and never told us. So even the 90,000, I think, is lowballing. And this year we're planning with the East Coast stations to delay them one day. In other words, the West Coast stations will be Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll take the Tuesday broadcast, send it to the East Coast for them to play on Wednesday. So there'll be a one-day delay of that 2-day broadcast. So we're trying to solve all the items that gave us a low ball last year.
But how are you going to announce on air progress towards your goals if 2 of the stations aren't with you while you're fundraising?
That's interesting. You know what? We actually have never really pitched the goal and the progress towards the goal on the archives day. One, because it was so finite, and it's such a short time. When you have a week-long drive, it's phases.
So
we actually have.
So what's the breakdown? How much money are you expecting from those days of off-air fundraising?
If we do, we did $82,000 on the actual 2-day fund drive, and the rest of it was filtered throughout. So if we do 82,000 on those 2 days, then I would want to do 40,000 in the 7-8 days that are following. And Thanksgiving, we're actually going dark. We won't be pitching that. But the 7 days after the 2 day drive, we will be offering like 1 minute promo carts on the stations to air. We'll be offering 15 minute segments for programmers to broadcast if they want to insert them in their program. And we'll be offering 1 hour specials for the stations to air in time zones and time slots that we don't cover in our 2 day drive on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. You know, I've always sort of complained that we never get to reach the weekend audience. People who only listen to Pacifica on a Saturday night never even know the archives had a fun drive. So we're going to try to target those little pockets of listeners to capture some of those and give them the opportunity to get to the holiday gifts.
Okay, so it's not the extra 8 days, they're not strictly off-air fundraising. You're counting on on-air carts and 15-minute drop-ins. It's just...
Right, it's not preempted.
Okay.
And sorry, Michael, so if people would pledge online or something?
Right. So the online campaign will be going on, and the Archives 800 number will still be open. So the phone line is open for the 8 days without impacting any of the stations, or KPFK here particularly. And then lastly, we're working with the affiliate stations finally. The affiliate stations, many of them are, about 30 of them air from the vault on a weekly basis in a regular time slot, and we get a lot of feedback from our affiliate listeners. But we've never been able to crack that code of pitching on an affiliate station, which we're not allowed to do. But we did work with a few of them this time and with Ursula, and we're going to be offering 1 hour specials that promote the History for the Holidays campaign, but not actually do a pitch. So we're going to be including the affiliates into the holiday campaign, but writing the fine line between the FCC restriction on pitching. But the affiliates are working with us to get that language right, and hopefully we'll be able to gain. And I'm going to put a goal of $5,000 from the affiliates for that week.
Okay, a couple questions on that front. In the development section of your budget, with an increase of $70,000 in listener support, you're anticipating a drop in credit card fees of $1,000. How do you figure?
I'm going to ask Mariana this.
Yes, 1 second.
She's going to look. We might. I see your point, Brian. We might have to increase the credit card projection, increasing the projections of the income. I see your point. Because the credit card fees were based on the actual. Is that right, Mariana?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So, yeah, I see your point. We probably would increase that.
It appears that you're dropping $10,000 in direct mail expense. Are you dropping a campaign or an appeal?
You mean with the... Oh, no, we aren't planning a direct mail appeal.
There's zero, right, for this year.
And you already didn't do it this year?
Yeah, this year we had planned on it, but with the transitions of the executive directors and the people at national office that actually helped us do the direct mail, it didn't happen. The direct mail went as a national office mailer, not an archives mailer. So okay. Right now I don't see how we're going to be able to get any of that done with the national office being still in precarious nature.
And then this is basically the same problem as the credit cards. Your premium shipping, you're budgeting to go down below what you spent this year.
That's okay. We're actually working to reduce our expenses in our premium gifts. So we just met today, and we're working on, one, a big push this year is going to be a voucher, so there's no actual physical thing that they get. And only 80%, I'm taking that back. Only about 25% actually redeemed the voucher, and that was one of our biggest premiums a few years ago. And then the next thing is we're cutting down from like three different kinds of jump drives to just one, so our supplies will be reduced. So yeah, with the shipping, we're actually working on our first time we're going to be offering the digital download of the premium so that there wouldn't be any shipping at all. So we're hoping that we're going to be offering an Archives Scholars Club to where they can go in and access 500 recordings at their leisure and customize it themselves and download it themselves and burn their own CD and reduce the shipping. So I think that's pretty reasonable considering we're working to keep that like that.
All right. I think that's basically everything. And then I guess the big picture question is twofold. If the 8 days of not full throttle fundraising don't produce $40,000 in income, and in particular, if several stations continue to be unable to pay their fees to the archive, what is your contingency plan if you're coming up well short?
Yeah, that's definitely a concern of mine. And when we get past the Archives Fund Drive Day, we're definitely going to have to take a stark look at that again. I mean, and there's two parallel lines here too. And my answer is twofold. The one is keeping the archives running so that we could provide services and do the duplication and see income in of sales and expenses at a low point. But then there's also this big thing called the work of digitizing the collection and the program of making sure that that work is continuing, which never gets a income. So that point being is raising money for that work to be done. This is actually a side answer, Brian. In February, I'm going to the first National Recorded Sound Preservation Task Force Research Caucus of over 100 scholars who will be working with us to write grants to help fund the archives. Now, that would be funding the preservation work. So that's separate from this, how am I going to fill in the gap? So let me just say that the work of preservation, I think, is going to be funded because we're going into this new world of scholars working to get grants to help our work. Now back to how do I just keep everybody on staff and keep the doors and the electricity on if the stations can't live up to the expectation and if our own fundraising doesn't live up to the expectation, then the next answer is in Family Foundation, of that external funding sources. And we never really got off the ground this year with that, and I know that was on my plate. And again, you know, there's some support that I need to allow me the time to do that kind of research and development. And unfortunately, this year was really stuck in trying to meet every payroll to payroll, as Mariana will attest to. So it's all been this year in fundraising and spending our time in doing the fundraising. So I think we're already working with our consultant, redirecting our consultant, Addie Gevins, in writing grants for us. For the preservation, but now starting to work for writing grants for Family Foundation for operations. Because luckily we have the archivists on staff who are doing grants for the preservation. We submitted a Grammy Foundation letter of inquiry this month. Actually, it was last week. And we are up for a American Archive of Public Broadcasting grant, which will provide us with a professional archivist for 8 months paid to do a project that we still have to define. I'm sorry, I got off on a tangent there, Brian, so I'm going to stop.
Yeah, well, listen, your fundraising prospects are great. My question is, like in concrete terms, if it's the day after your fall fund drive and you're in a situation similar to where you were last year, which is well short of what you thought you'd raise, and facing the prospect of money not coming in from the stations, what can you do that you can count on to keep from needing a bailout that there is no money to extend?
Right. You know, all I can say is, you know, the options would be, one, meet with the executive director and the CFO. Hopefully we'll have them, and come up with contingency plans. And then my contingency plan for the bailout is, what I would hate to close the archives or have the archive staff reduced to the point where we're not functioning. But you all should also know that under direction from one of the interim executive directors, I have been exploring and doing research and development on if the foundation can't afford the archives, then is there another place that would accept the archives into another institution, whether it be a university or independently. So in terms of, what happens if we don't meet our goal, then we have to figure out as a institution and a foundation, does the foundation want this archive? Do they want it as an do they want it as a warehouse that's locked up? Do they want it as a running archive, or are we ready to let it go and put it in a more stable environment? So those are the things that will be on the table if we don't meet that goal on those 2 days, Brian. And it is that, I understand it's that serious and that grave, and I don't mean to scare everybody, but I think that the foundation really is at a point where we should be asking ourselves, can we afford the archives, not just as a thing that we keep, like a garage, but the archives as a program that continues to digitize and make the materials available and accessible to everybody. So that's my answer. I'm passionate and very confident and have every confidence that this archives is worth saving.
Okay. I appreciate the thought that went into it. Anyone else want to be on stack for Pacifica Radio Archive?
Michael, am I audible?
Yes, you are. Michael, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Michael. And I want to remind everyone that we do have that KPFT resolution pending and a couple other items to clean up soon. And the archives has identified a couple things they want to clean up in their budget, so we don't need to get to a vote tonight. Go ahead, Michael.
I just wanted to ask quickly, because I know that KPFK did a project this year of kind of the best of the six decades using materials from the archives, and I was wondering how that got worked out between you and the station, because I know that I think the production was done at KPFK, I think, volunteers. I'm not sure if is that now archive material as well available, or was like the 50s and 60s and 70s, the 80s and so on, which we pitched in some of our...
Yeah, actually what we've been doing with KPFK, WBAI, and WPFW, and maybe 3-4 years ago at KPFA, is customizing the premium for the local listeners. So KPFK, they did sort of their 56 years on the air and went through each decade and pulled some interesting materials for each decade to compile them. And that did okay at KPFK. WBAI, the archives went out on September 21st, and we customized a New York-only collection, and that did really swell. I get to brag for a second. I got to interview Yoko Ono live on the air, and she's very supportive of the archives. Very cool. And then we also customized a collection for WPFW, understanding their audience is materials, African American, civil rights movement, Black Power movement, and jazz. So we understand the audience a little bit more, so we're trying to customize those gifts for those stations. So I think it's going well, and the more we do and the more we collect, the more we can manufacture really great stuff. Looking forward to do it for Texas as well, just like there's just not enough from Texas in the collection to garner a definitive or a compendium that's worthwhile. Comprehensive, that's the word I was looking for.
May I speak to the staff?
I've got Nancy. Anyone else? Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, Brian. Nancy from WPFW. Hi. I was just wondering, is there a list, a written list, index of the archive that one can peruse and maybe, choose from?
As a premium or as just a everything thing?
Just everything.
Pacificaradioarchives.org, there's a button called Search the Collection. And that's a keyword searchable into the entire database of 50,000 recordings.
Is there a list that you can look at, the complete list?
I see. I think the best thing we can do is that we do put together lists of premiums like Treasures in the Archives or our collection of Black History Month premiums. We've done one for Women's History Month, et cetera. And we do the spring and fall lists for the stations, and we usually send them out to the GMs and the program directors, and we always cross our fingers that they're forwarded to the individual programmers, but I'm positive that they don't always end up in the lap of people who are actually doing the work on the ground. So maybe I think what we'll do is post them online on our website and then pass out the link to people so that they can share it freely. Well, that's a good idea. Thank you for helping me with that, Nancy.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just thinking, when I'm looking for stuff, if I could look at the whole list, I might see, well, I never knew that we had that, and that would be a great gift for our station,
But the list is like 17,000 pages. That's the problem, is that we actually do have 50,000 listings that if you just put them in alphabetical order, it's a nightmare.
Are they indexed?
No, indexing means you have to completely catalog them to get that information. So right now, the good news is the women's collection that we got the grant from the National Archives, that's what's being enhanced to where every record of those 2,000 recordings can be listed by subject matter like abortion feminism or that kind of thing. So that is happening, but it's because we've been doing the work for 5 years just to do those 2,000 recordings to get the procedures and policies and standards together. And that's the cool thing is that this year with this project being done, we now have all the policies, procedures, and tasks at hand to where we can duplicate that and continue our preservation work at the highest standard and know how much each tape costs.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate how many listings 50,000 is. You're right. That's an incredible amount to try to look through. Thank you.
I've been doing it for 17 years, and I'm still not done. There's a note for you.
Wow. And it keeps coming.
A quick question on the cash flow here, Brian, or this is probably more for Mariana. I'm looking at the end of month cash balance, and it is red ink for every month in the budget year. At its worst point, which is October, there's a cash balance of negative $50,000.
Which tab is that, Brian?
It's the cash flow forecast tab.
Okay.
Row 47, cash balance, end of month.
Okay, this one here, Mariana. All right, so that's the one where we're seeing a lot of the errors formulas.
You know that Efren updated today the financial statement, and he sent it to me as of September 20th, everything included, because I put everything in a great plane, all the journal entries, and it's already included everything. He sent it to me today, updated income statement. I'm not sure if you got it.
I saw a bunch of things go by. I work during the day, so I'm not able to take a look at every email before this meeting starts. But are you saying you just plugged in new numbers and that's what produced these balances?
No, I don't know that this doesn't reference what was entered in today. Brian, if I understand the question, you're asking why is there a deficit in the cash flow balance end of the month for... I only see 4 months in a row, but I'm assuming those errors have more red. So you just need an explanation of why they're in the deficit?
No. If it's an error, great. Otherwise, we need a plan for covering up to $50,000 of expenses that you're not going to have the cash on hand to cover.
Okay.
Because that's what these figures are saying.
Okay, I think I'm going to have to take the note and then let us look at the corrections without the errors, and then I think we can email an answer to you.
Great.
Cool?
Yeah, I'll talk to Efren tomorrow.
And in terms of the operating budget, having a deficit of $4,600, which I guess will be more after you correct the credit card fees line, I would much rather you make any adjustments that you need to make to your spending now to not show a deficit than to ask the board to approve a budget that's showing a deficit.
Okay, understood. But Mariana had an answer to the credit card.
Yeah,
thing.
You know what? Because this is also formula. This come automatically from the reference formula from the premiums. From the that's why for when you fund drive, open listener support here.
Listener, this one? This one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so that's very understandable, but so if the formula is giving you a result...
But I just plugged in the credit card, so this I also have to check, or maybe his percentage got different or something. This came through the formula. That's
right.
Why it was this credit card is less than it should be.
But, I mean, if the formula doesn't work, you have to override it to get a realistic number. It would be safer to just take it as a ratio of listener support.
Yeah. I will tell him to unplug the code, and I can just override myself.
Right,
okay,
and then
great.
We'll make the adjustment to balance it at zero and not have a deficit. I think we can handle
that.
Yeah,
you do this. Remember this, the $5,000 that we have in restoration project?
Right. In fact, Brian, you know, there's a $5,000 expense line in something called preservation. Is it in programming, Mariana?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. $5,000 in line... I see it as line 119, but it's category 6699, tape restoration. That's it. So that's the line where we put our grants in for preservation, and I put in $5,000 just to have a bank to do some preservation of some tapes. So we could take that out, and then we'll be balanced. No one will be the wiser.
Okay, but it might adjusting the credit card fees might throw you back out of balance. At any point, we're talking small sums of money, but show us something with a positive number on the bottom line instead of a negative number.
Okay, we can do that.
And check those cash flow balances. Bill?
Yeah, that's what we'll do.
Yeah, real quick, I just want to thank Brian and Lana for joining us, and I really appreciate all the work you're doing. It's very important work. But I do worry... And this is not so much talking to you, but the other stations, is that so much of PRA's budget, you really depends on getting central service income. And I know we've put them in a real bind over the last few years because of not fully paying the central services income. And as I understand it, I believe KPFT and KPFA are the only ones who really have been paying it fully. Is that correct?
Yep, that's pretty much it. KPFK's done a really great job, but came short a little bit. I do understand this, but I have to say that national office, you know, when I got here in 1999, there was a national development director, a national program director, a national news director, a CFO and an executive director, a human resources director, accountants, and auditors. And that team of people raised money to fulfill the needs of the stations and the archives. So I definitely agree with you that the stations are being burdened unduly, but it's not the archives' fault. It's the shortcomings of the national office and not having the people power to go get grants from the Annenberg Foundation and major donorships and direct mail letters and all of that. So with that being said, you know, that's what this archives team, a stable staff that's been here a long time with institutional knowledge and connections, you know, we're doing all that we can to offset some of those burdens, and I think we've done really, really well this year with being able to do that. And
I agree. I just was going to emphasize to my colleagues that we have to really work to make sure that the essential services are paid.
Right, and we do understand if there's anything that we would desire is if that we didn't have to depend on the stations and could do everything ourselves, but I think we all realize that under the circumstances this year and under the circumstances of how the foundation works, that's just not possible.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you understand all the stations are confronting the same thing you do when you raise money over their airwaves. We're getting a lot less blood out of that stone.
Right.
And it's part of an overall declining trend in audience for public radio.
Well, that's why we've moved into the Library of Congress Radio Preservation Task Force, where there's actually a national initiative to help get the work done.
Okay.
Again, when digitization is done, then we don't have to do it again.
Right. Thank you so much for your time, Brian and Mariana. When can you turn around a revised budget?
Okay, by when? When do you need it by?
The ideal would be to have it on, let's see, our next meeting is the 27th. So the idea would be to have it a week from today at the latest.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah, easy.
Easy.
Great. Thank you so much. And Mariana, thank you for your work at KPFK as well.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Brian, for acknowledging that. I appreciate that.
Everybody, we're at the adjournment time that's in our agenda. We still have the KPFT resolution pending. We have not yet gotten to the discussion of where other budgets are at, or a discussion of the foundation's liquidity situation. If someone wants to propose extending so that we can entertain any or all of those, now would be the time to make that proposal.
Adriana? I propose to extend 20 minutes.
Motion from Adriana is to extend the meeting by 20 minutes. Is there any objection?
Just a question. Hearing,
what's your question, Serene?
It's the KPFT budget, and, motion and amendment, and what else?
If we have more time, I have an amendment to take it off the table and amend it.
It's the KPFT amendment. Sorry, the KPFT motion is on the table and could come off the table at any point. And then items we haven't got to on our agenda were a check-in on the status of outstanding budgets and a discussion of the cash flow / liquidity problem in Pacifica.
Mm-hmm.
The proposal is a 20-minute extension. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we're extended until 10 of. Michael, did you want to make a motion to take KPFT off the table?
Yes.
Any objection to taking KPFT off the table? Hearing none, we're now back where we were, which means we have the motion and the attached amendment pending in front of us. The amendment was from Bill.
I'd like to make an amendment also.
Sure. What's your amendment, Michael?
It says follows, if people have the original language. I want to move item 3 up to be number 2. So it would be number 1, update July and August. Number 2, provide historical census data. And then the new 3 would be what is now 2, reduce line 5,000. So all the reduce and increase would follow. And then the or, F number 8.
Let's take one at a time so we don't muddy the waters. Is there any objection to transposing items 2 and 3 in this motion?
Well, hold on. Since we've moved it around, I have to move them. Okay, item 2 is reduce line 5,000, listener support, the amount actually recorded over the last 12 months, 973. 3, provide historical Memphis data supporting the fulfillment assumptions on the pledge listener support collection tab, and it gives a bunch of stuff. So the motion is to swap the order of those two?
That's correct.
If I can get to the rest of what I'm moving, you'll understand why.
So you want the whole thing to be considered as one motion, Michael?
You'll see the logic when I finish my sentence, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry for cutting you off.
Right. So in number 8, you currently have or provide written support, like a signed HD channel resident agreement for any higher figure. My amendment would be to apply that to items 2 through 8, as opposed to just item 8, and make it any higher figures. So that any of those reductions that we call for to correspond to the last 12 months, they could come in with a justified reason why it does not correspond exactly to the last 12 months for the reductions and increases. Do people understand the gist of the motion of the amendment?
Okay. Yes, and I still think we should take them up separately.
Okay.
So I think changing the order of item 2 and 3 should be non-controversial because it does not change any of the substance of the motion. Does anyone object to that?
Well, I got to get this down here. So it's change the order of items 2 and 3?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so it's changed the order of items 2 and 3.